Our scripture today is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope you have some sort of meal planned. I've heard some of you have a turkey in the oven right now. So that's fantastic. We're having a turkey supper with my in-laws later. Before I start, how about you just say to the person next to you or someone close to you what you are thankful for? Go for it. We just read Job 1, 6 to 12. Now, it's very interesting that we see here God was having a council meeting, a board meeting, if you want to call it. Satan replies to God about Job by asking a pretty bold thing. Now, God knows that Job is a great man, blameless, upright, good reputation. Satan is sure that he knows Job more than God knows him and believes that Job desires the creations of God, the blessings of God, more than God himself. I want us to read verses 9 to 11 one more time. These are crucial. Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. On a Thanksgiving weekend, the question that we must ask comes right back to the main point of this book. Ask yourself this. Are you more thankful for the blessings, for the creations, more than the Creator? Are you more thankful for the blessings, more than the one who has blessed you? How do you know where you are? Well, sit down and evaluate your life. How do you pray, for example? Do you pray more for the blessings of life? Or do you pray more for thankfulness, for Jesus, for God himself? Now, I think we get this at least among the people that we see every day. For example, if Rebecca made me something, a nice gift, or maybe she gave me a gift of some kind, and I took it, played with the gift, loved the gift, but I said no thank you to her, how do you think our evening would go? Not great. If one of my kids, if Jeremiah came from play school, gave me a craft, although maybe not the greatest made craft, but one of his crafts, and he's so proud of it, gives it to me, and I look at the craft, and I say, cool. And I take it in, and I put it on the table, and I don't say, thank you, Jeremiah, or give him a high five. How is that going to make him feel? I don't think I would be the awesome dad anymore, at least for a few minutes. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to count our blessings. As the old hymn goes, count our blessings, name them one by one. But only because they should point us to the origin of the blessings. Point us to the origin of the blessings. The issue can be, and the sin is when we start to worship the blessings, or even the process of getting the blessings, or even expect that because we follow Jesus, we should then get blank. When we start to focus worship desire something more than Jesus himself, we become idolaters. When we become anxious because of a lack of blank, we can very quickly turn into worshiping the blessing. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, this is what Paul addresses this. We read this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So be honest with yourself as we're going through this first chapter of Job. Where are you? Do you worship the blessings more than the Creator? Let's keep on reading. Job 1, verse 13. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked, made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." I want to stop there for a second. Now, Job has lost everything. Well, actually, almost everything. If you read into Job, his wife is still around. But that's something else entirely. Job didn't just lose all his things, though. He lost them in a very violent fashion. Read through those. I mean, a wind coming through, breaking all four walls of the house, striking all of his children. Now, the typical response to this would probably be a combination of anger, sadness, frustration. Maybe you can think of some other emotions. But something amazing here happens. Let's read on, verses 20 to 22. At this, after everything that had happened, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. He fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Incredible verses. Incredible verses. And like many of the Psalms that we did this past summer, I want us to detect the emotion. The emotion in this. I want to read it again. At this, Job got up. Just imagine this. Tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. Now, with all those emotions that we thought about, we probably expect him to fall to the ground, but probably not fall to the ground in worship. We probably expect him to fall to the ground and maybe shake his fist at God, yell at God, "How could you?" But he fell to the ground in worship, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." I think if we're honest, these couple verses surprise us. There's a bit of a tension here because we start to think, if you're a Christian today, you start to think, could I do the same? If we could say the Lord has gave and the Lord has taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised. I believe it's crucial that we ask ourselves this, especially on a Thanksgiving weekend, with a great turkey supper waiting for us. The first chapter of Job reminds us of the sovereignty of God. God is in control of all things. He cares for his children, and it reminds us to be thankful for God more than the blessings of God. We're just going to read Job 1, because if I read all of the 40 or so chapters, we'd be here for a few weeks. Now, God gives us many blessings. Many blessings. Before I started this message, you whispered or you said something to the person next to you. Now think about those blessings, but also think about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners. There's one gift in particular, or rather one blessing of the gospel that I want to mention, forgiveness. We have forgiveness of sins. What great news, what great gift. But stay with me here. If we only had forgiveness, if we only had forgiveness, I'm not sure it would be entirely good news, if it would be the gospel. Let me say it this way. If we were forgiven, which is fantastic, but not shown God and being able to be in a relationship with Jesus, would that be great news? Would that be good news? Just forgiveness, but not being able to know God and be in a personal relationship with Jesus? All of the blessings and gifts of the gospel bring about the greatest blessing of all, which is God, God himself. If someone asks you, what is the gospel, you can say one word, God. God is the gospel. He is the good news. Through Jesus, we can delight, we can love, and cherish him above all else. We can be in a relationship with God. Think about that, a relationship with God. We can know God. Think about that this Thanksgiving Day. We must be thankful for this. And this thankfulness, if you want to look in your sermon notes, this is one of the fill in the blanks, I think. This thankfulness that we can have cannot just be an interior thankfulness. But it must also be an exterior thankfulness. I mean that in a couple ways. If we're truly thankful for everything Jesus has done, firstly, just ask yourself that. Are you truly thankful for everything Jesus has done? Be honest with yourself. If we're truly thankful for everything Jesus has done, we must reflect that with the people closest to us. Maybe you're going to be with some family for a nice dinner today, tomorrow. Maybe it was yesterday. We must reflect it with the people we are closest with. And secondly, we must show it not just to the people we are comfortable around, but the people that make us uncomfortable. Maybe the stranger who you see during the week. Just like last week as we talked about the love of God, if we are truly thankful, our thankfulness has got to be seen through what we do, what we say and what we do. So what if Christians were the most thankful people on the planet? We should be, shouldn't we? Really, we should be. What if the world started questioning? What if the person at the grocery store asked you, why are you so thankful? What would you say? What if the teacher or student at school asked you, what are you thankful for and why? What would you say? I can probably imagine what you'd say and what I would say probably. I'm so thankful because I have a roof over my head. We say that, right? I've got a roof over my head, great family, great kids, great grandkids. But you see, it's easy for us to be thankful, especially to someone who doesn't know Jesus, about the blessings. It's so easy for us to be thankful about the blessings. But what if when they ask you these questions, when they say, why are you so thankful? You say, you know what? The roof over my head is fantastic. Friends, the food, it's all great. But above all of that, I'm thankful for Jesus, who displayed his love for me on the cross, who died for me and loves me. Would that start a conversation? Probably. Maybe it's a conversation you're not very comfortable with. Maybe you're afraid to say something like that because you're afraid of what they would say. I think that's probably true for a lot of us. But as real as that fear is, I think what we need to be more afraid of is if they start to believe that we are thankful, but we are more thankful for the things, for the creations. So all they need to do is believe in Jesus, and then Jesus will give them all that they need. Or not, rather not need, but want. Jesus doesn't promise any of these things. He doesn't promise that you will have kids. For those of us who have kids, grandkids, what a great blessing. He doesn't promise that you'll have a roof over your head or even food. What he does promise is that he is there. And if we were to declare our thanks for the Creator more than the creation, can you imagine what this would show to the communities around us? Just start to imagine. A posture of thankfulness means that our life is reflected by the thankfulness we have for Jesus, what he has done for us. But we must ask ourselves, are we truly thankful if we don't tell others about it? Are we truly thankful for Jesus if we keep quiet about it? If you are thankful, deeply thankful, truly thankful, you'll probably tell others about it, because we tell people what we are thankful for. I think I can say this for many of us. We have no problem telling others about how thankful we are for the roof over our heads. But are we as willing to tell others about who provided that roof? Let me say that again. We have no problem telling others about how thankful we are for a roof. But are we as willing to tell others about who provided that roof? If God took all away, come back to Job. If God took all away, would you respond like Job? Or would you grumble? Grumble in despair because we only want the gifts of God and not God himself. I think if we're honest, we might grumble. We might grumble. It isn't an easy question to ask or answer. And yet on this Thanksgiving weekend, we must remind ourselves and ask for God to reveal what we're actually thankful for. It's easy to be thankful for the blessings we have, especially on Thanksgiving. Maybe it's the food. Maybe it's the family around you, the grandkids, the kids, parents. I know that many of you will enjoy a nice turkey with gravy. Yes, you're probably all hungry now. And yet I hope that God is making you hungry to display your thankfulness for him above all the blessings. Thanksgiving weekend, we are usually with family, friends, good food, usually in a probably nice house of some kind. And yet those are all blessings. Those are all blessings. We need to count our blessings, name them one by one, but because they only point to the origin of those blessings. On this Thanksgiving weekend, if you're truly, truly thankful, tell somebody. If you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to KC's right after this to pick up something, tell one of the employees how thankful for you are for Jesus. For Jesus. According to Barna Research, a Christian research company in the States, 1 in 4 U.S. adults spend birthdays or holidays with their neighbors. How great would it be for each one of the people in your house to invite someone over? Invite someone over. If you have kids, ask them to invite someone over, a friend, their parents. Maybe you see somebody every day, someone at work, somebody in the community. Invite them over for dinner. I think the great thing about Thanksgiving, although it might be obvious, is that it's a great time to invite neighbors over. Great time. I want to end with one verse, two verses. Apostle Paul writes this from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want you to take a look at these verses. I want you to notice that Paul doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. The will of God for you is not to give thanks for each situation, but rather to give thanks in all circumstances, in all situations. Meaning that God is present in each situation because he is sovereign. Remember, the sovereignty of God means that he is in control of all things. Thus, we can have faith that he is in control. This is why we can give thanks in all circumstances, in all circumstances. When your life falls apart in a matter of minutes, maybe it will fall apart within a week, it is God who is the never-changing present in that situation. When your friend dies, we give thanks not for the friend dying, but for what God has brought to the situation, his presence, his love, and his promise to bring good out of the situation for those he calls his children. This is why it is vital we don't just give thanks for the blessings of your life, but also for God himself, who has proven that he is there even when the things in your life are not. This is God's will for your life. This is what Paul says, to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. This is the posture of the thankful person. This will reflect what is in your heart. As I said, posture is important, both for your physical well-being and for your spiritual well-being. Ask God to reveal his goodness to you each day. We just sang, "Come thou fount of every blessing," and we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. We are prone to leave the God we love. One of the books I'm reading says that we're all unbelievers. I think we are. During points of our lives, when we sin, we are not believing the gospel. When we try to do things our own way, we are not believing that God has provided. We need to repent of that and rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Give thanks. Remember this incredible gospel truth. Jesus, God incarnate, died for the least godly. I pray that that true gospel truth rings true, especially this Thanksgiving, as I hope we tell our neighbors, the strangers around us, and the communities how great our God is. Let's pray together. Father, we celebrate Thanksgiving, not just us here in Cremona, but all of Canada this weekend. Lord, I pray that we can declare how thankful we are for you. Lord, we repent. We declare that we do not believe sometimes. It's reflected in our actions as we sin, as we do things for our own happiness. Lord, we are alive to show your glory. So Lord, this Thanksgiving, as we possibly sit around family, friends, Lord, may we declare with our mouths and our actions that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the one that has provided any sort of blessing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.